1212. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of Music and Life. This time featuring a producer that many of you know of. I already know that you know of, and you have at least seen him grace your timeline on Instagram or maybe even here on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, let me go ahead and switch the screen real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, I have
none
other than Beautiful Beats.
What's going on, my guy? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, bro?
Hey, life is good. Life is good. We're in this blue room here. We got the blue aura going on. We're feeling good. Life is good.
You are, first of all, let's start with this. Let's start with the fact that you are an aesthetic king. Okay.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Really,
thank you.
Nail the aesthetics. I mean, everything down from not just what you do with the music, because we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that. But what you do with the presentation of the music is something that I think a lot of producers aspire to create, which is, and it's funny because I got to tell you this story first about my sister. My sister tells me, she was like, at one point in time years ago before I changed things, she said, "You have the most boring Instagram I've ever seen in my life." I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "It's just ugly." She said, "What is that program you use? Fruity? It's ugly."
Right.
I was like, you got to chill, sis. Like, you can't say these things out loud.
Right.
And I took a second to think about it, and I was like, you know what? She makes
women,
a great
women know.
Point.
Women know, dude. They know. Like, what, you know, visually, like, what looks good?
Right.
They
expand
know.
On it. Expand on it. What have you noticed? Because, I mean, like I said, you are the aesthetic king, and I think that we could all benefit from a little aesthetic one-on-one. Like, how important is that towards your message, your brand, and what you stand for musically?
I'll say this. I used to not really give it much thought back in the day, and I was just kind of like uploading videos, and like, it was just, all right, let's get it out, which I think there is something valuable there, being able to just kind of get stuff out. But the more and more I like watch reels, and maybe it's just my feed, but the more and more I watch stuff, it's like, okay, that is very aesthetically pleasing, especially
right.
Instagram. I see it a lot. It's like, I get on Instagram and I click on the reel section, and it's like, okay, here's this drone going over the Appalachian Mountains, and it's just like, you know what I mean? And
some
it's
people
like, okay,
go really, really extra too. It's like, we did not need to see aerial footage of you taking
right.
the mail out, but we have it now.
And all it is like a quote, and it's like, this video has millions of views. It's like
right.
a quote, some crazy good looking footage, and like, you know, it's like, okay, that's cool. And I see it a lot on Instagram. I feel like Instagram just kind of has that feel. I still think there's a lot of room for like just organic stuff, but yeah, man, I just try to, like, it's fun for me, to be honest. Like, if I didn't enjoy it, I would just be like, all right, screw it, I'm just gonna, you know, make stuff look however I want. But
yeah,
now I definitely do. I try to keep my like fonts, colors, just all consistent, because that's like what a brand is, you know what I mean? Like, you don't see Nike using like Times New Roman, or maybe they do, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Kawhi just... Leonard does, but I don't know about Nike for sure.
Yeah. That's a Kawhi thing. Yeah.
But even
yeah,
that's, I mean, on like, brand, which is funny.
Right. Like, all the best brands in the world, they have their fonts, they have their looks, they have their feel, and all those things convey a certain emotion. You know what I mean? You
right.
know when you're watching an Apple commercial, because it's like, it's visually, it feels, it's simplistic, like
yeah.
all that stuff matters. And I treat my social medias like that. Like, how do we want stuff to look? How's a person going to feel when they watch something? And this might sound like crazy to some people, that's really the truth. I'm not like constantly thinking about it every day, but when I go to make a video, it's like, okay, what is the person really experiencing here? You know what I mean? So that's some stuff I try to look into. I just try to treat me, my brand, my music as a brand as a whole. So yeah.
So for the people who are just coming in right now, and shout out to everybody that's in the chat on YouTube, appreciate you joining us for this conversation. For those who may not have been privy or are exposed to the experience of Beautiful Beats, where are you from? Who are you? What do you do? Let's get to the foundational things first before we dive into this.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a music producer and content creator, first off. Influencer, don't love that word, but I guess
it's growing
guess,
on me, but I feel you.
Yeah,
bro.
yeah I guess I'm influencing maybe somebody, I don't know. But yeah, so I'm from Ohio, I'm in the Midwest. This is a sneak peek. I don't usually say where I'm from, but yeah, everyone in here knows I'm from Ohio now. It's all good. Midwest.
Did we get an exclusive right now, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. That's high caliber stuff. Yeah. So Ohio.
It's just the internet. You're good. It's just the internet, bro. You're good.
Yeah. Nothing goes on.
Nobody can do anything with that information. I just, you know, no.
Nobody's out. Yeah.
Until you go to TikTok with it, then it's a different story.
Yeah, then you don't know where you're at. That's kind of like the Wild West. But yeah, from Ohio, I guess I kind of grew up. My first love was basketball. I was a basketball player. Played basketball in college at a small Division III school in Ohio. But like that was kind of my life. That's what I wanted to be good at. That's what I put all of my time into until I kind of got to college. If we're going into a little bit of backstory, I started Beautiful Beats in college. Didn't tell any of my friends, didn't tell my closest friends, didn't tell my family. I was just making beats, telling absolutely nobody, uploading it to Instagram.
And at this time, were you known as the Hooper? Was that kind of your identity to your friends?
So I was like, I guess, kind of like the jock Hooper, you know, just like that was it. You know what I mean? Like that's who I was, which was not a bad thing, you know, but I wasn't comfortable at all being like a music creator, like an artist or like expressing myself creatively in that realm yet. And it stayed like that for 4 years. I was growing on Instagram and like building a business and had like followers or whatever and was like gaining traction and making money from my music, and nobody knew.
4 years? How do you keep that quiet for 4 years, bro?
Well, here's the funny thing. So obviously I obviously told my parents pretty early on, but
how was that reception, by the way?
It was fine. I don't think they saw it going where it was going. Right. God bless my parents are angels. Everything about them is fantastic. They've given me a great life, but very old school. So they were kind of like, okay, yeah, what do? You post videos on the internet? Okay, cool. you know, so they weren't really sure, but they've been great. You know, they're learning, you know, like everybody else that's probably not used to the internet and how things work. They're learning and figuring it out along with me, you know, so
right.
they were great and receptive to it. But yeah, so that time period of 4 years where I wasn't really telling anybody I make music, I would have like one of my friends or two of my friends like find the Instagram page, Beautiful Beats. They'd be like, dude, is this you? And I'd be like,
is this like, you? Yeah. It's not like you're wearing a mask. Is this you? Yeah. That's wild.
I'd be like, yeah, don't tell anybody though. Like, I really don't want anyone knowing.
Was that? Is it the pressure of now having to explain it, or was it the pressure of what if I'm not that good and they start judging me by that, or think I'm making a wrong decision? Like, what was it for you specifically?
I have a couple different reasons. You hit the nail on the head a couple times where it was like, okay, I'm just starting. You know what I mean? Like, and I fully understood. I was like, I know I'm not going to be that good at this for probably a couple years. You know, it's going to take some time, especially something like music, where it was like, I'm going to have to figure this out. I know I'm not going to be that good. And then it was also like, I was mortified of like getting made fun of. I really was. Not that I had bad friends or like I was around people that were like bad or anything like that. It was all in my head. It was like this fake fear of how people would receive it. And then you also hit the nail on the head where I just wanted to I loved, since I was a kid, man, like I've always been like a fan of like just building really anything. I mean, as like really young example is like Legos, like, you know what I mean? Right. You go into your world, man, you're just there and you're just building something. And I just wanted to be in my own space. Like you said, not have to talk about it or answer it to anybody. Or if I go into the lunchroom, are people going to be asking me, what was this video you posted today?
Yeah.
And then I didn't want that in the back of my head as I was trying to just create something that you have to be free in your mind to create. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where that was from. But and then as I realized, like for maybe people that go through something similar, like I gained more confidence, you know, as I kind of grew, as I grew my business, as I became a better producer, as I became a better content creator, my confidence grew. So maybe it was a little easier for me, but bro, like telling people was like, they don't really, like some of them care, but most of them don't really care. And that's fine.
You know what I mean?
Like people are probably mostly just worried about themselves, right? You know what I mean? So they're going to, you telling them that, although to you it might be like the biggest part of your month, it's just going to be another blip on their, you know, day. So
just a moment, just another moment. And well, I'm curious too, because to hoop, and to be the center of attention. There's only five guys on at a time on a team.
Right.
There's a certain level of pressure that comes with that, right? And there's a certain level of judgment of your creativity as an athlete, your ability to think on your feet. And I wonder how much of that was transferable and how much was music just kind of like a clean slate for you to establish a new, I guess, layer of confidence?
This is a great question. And I think the direction I want to take it is like, yes, music was a nice outlet, I think, to quote unquote. I never wanted to get away from basketball, but there were some days where it was nice to just go back to the dorm room and just like create. But like, I think I actually took a lot of stuff from basketball and brought it into music and business and stuff like that. You know, the discipline of a sport and like transferring that into a creator and a musician. Almost to the point where like sometimes I have to catch myself to be like, hey dude, you know, we're not competing for playing time here, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
That's
like
real.
You know, if there's not 2 minutes left on the clock here and you have to make this three, or if you miss this three you're coming out of the game, you know what I mean? It's like
you're allowed you have a lot more grace,
a little bit longer of a leash in this long-term goal of trying to get there. So but yeah, that identity of basketball was weird, man. I would go to practice some days and I would be like, and like that's what felt real to me. You know what I mean? Like there's people involved. You know, there's people that I talk to and connect with every single day.
Right.
What I'm doing on Instagram felt so small when I would go to practice. Because it seemed so like just false. You know what I mean? It was like, nobody knows about it. Do I really know these people that are following me? Like, is it actually something real? Is it actually something tangible? You know, this is real life when I'm at practice. You know what I mean? So I'd have these weird feelings where I'd be like, just playing basketball. I'd be like, man, what I'm doing on Instagram is a joke. You know what I mean? Like, this is nothing compared to this. So that's kind of an interesting perspective I had too. But
yeah. So, okay. Well, that's crazy, man. It's dope to hear how, even if it wasn't the purpose initially, you kind of gave yourself an opportunity to just be selfish with this venture, with this creative adventure.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people, when they get into something new, they're in such a rush to tell everybody that it's almost like you go to a mall and you meet a girl and then you say hi and she says hi back. And then you run to everybody around you like, oh my gosh, the most beautiful girl here said hi to me. And it's like, you didn't close the deal, bro. Like all she did was say hi. And I think a lot of producers will run around and just be like, oh my gosh, like I'm a producer. I'm a beat maker. I have a program and a keyboard. And it's like,
yeah. And I uploaded this beat on SoundCloud and like, yeah, you know? Yeah. No, it's a real thing, man. And it was almost like a blessing in disguise. Like I fully believe that like I benefited so much from having that fear that, you know, whoever God placed inside of me that I was so mortified to tell anybody. I believe, man, like sometimes your friends will never like end up being your fans. Like, you know what I mean? Because they know you as something completely different. You know what I mean? And I think there's something so powerful of how somebody discovers you as a musician.
Right.
Like all my favorite musicians, dude, I found them in just like these crazy cool ways where like maybe I saw a video of them like creating music, or like I saw it on like an Instagram story and then I dove deeper and then I found all these things that I loved about them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there wasn't any past like things that I knew about them or like, oh, it's weird that you know, Frank Ocean is singing. I didn't know Frank. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool for me to figure out who Frank Ocean is. You know, it's not like, oh, I thought Frank played basketball. This is weird. He's singing now. You know, no matter how good his music is, you know what I mean? I'm just using Frank Ocean as an example, but like, so I loved finding people, not that I have like a bad past or anything, but like had no idea who I am. And they're only finding me to discover me
through me
for the music and the content. I think that's powerful.
But see, I think that's the beautiful thing about living now in this time is that it's not hard to run down somebody's YouTube, run down an old
you know, well, maybe not for you, maybe for my generation, like a MySpace page, and find all these things that kind of tell pieces of the story, but enough of it to get an idea. And it's unfortunate because I see a lot of producers, a lot of artists that try to fast forward that process by what I think is forcing people to become fans of them.
Right.
And I wonder, did you ever go through a stage where, okay, this has been my thing for 4 years. I love it. I think I'm finally ready to kind of like open the curtains up a little bit on it. Did you ever go through the phase of like, okay, well, I have to go spam people, or I have to go slide in the DMs, or I have to go like, what was sort of that transition from having the personal experience you had with music to now finally sharing it with people?
I got a funny story. This is like something I'm proud of, but it's also like, it's so weird. So obviously, like, I have my beautiful It Beats Instagram.
Right.
But I also have my personal Instagram with like 400 followers, you know, like of my real personality. Not one time have I ever posted on my personal page and been like,
to this day?
To this day.
Wow.
And been like, go check me out. Hey guys, I make music. As I've always said, if the people that will care about the music,
right,
and like want to watch the content will find it some way.
Yeah.
I don't need the kid that was in my science class in high school, you know, 6 years ago to follow me. I don't care, dude.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's so real. It's, you know, so, I mean? Real. Because a lot of us, I wish I had, how old are you again, bro? My apologies.
I'm 23.
I wish at 23 I had that kind of awareness. But at that time, you got to think, like, 23, we're talking about like the emergence of Facebook. We're talking about people that you probably thought you wouldn't see until your 20-year anniversary are now right there. And that, you know, the girl that said you wasn't going to amount to nothing, or the guys, yeah, that was like the popular kids back then who used to look down on you, like, you have an opportunity to be like, oh, let me just put this on your timeline real quick. Oh, you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your man's amounted to something. But that's the younger me. But I look at that and recognize that, yeah, it's so true. These folks already have their idea of who you are in their head, and it's going to be very challenging no matter what you accomplish. Like, I'm pretty sure there's people who only know Drake as Aubrey, and they don't take any of this Drake thing serious.
They would be like, they'd be like, he was the weird guy who was doing acting, you know, like, seriously. And they'd be like, yeah, he found some success in the music industry, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a weirdo. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
I don't care what you say. He was a weirdo back then. He's a weirdo today.
Like, Drake ate the erasers off his pencil. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Like, so there's people that know him as that, probably. That's what I'm saying, dude. It's like, And it's sometimes it's no fault to their own. It's just how the world connected people, you know. It's just like, they're always going to know you as that because that was their first. Now, I will say there are times, though, like, people will find the page and they'll reach out to me like, dude, I had no idea. And I'll be like, great. This is way cooler you finding out this way that I make music than me telling you. You know what I mean?
And I tell producers and artists all the time, I say, you're going to lose out on the most special part about being a creative, which is being discovered, right? Allowing for your art to have legs of its own. And I asked them, I say, those who are spamming me, and I'm sure they're spamming you, I asked them, I said, is this how your favorite artist found you?
Yep. I always, when I have the time and I respond to DMs, I'll be like, hey, like, this ain't it. Like, this is not how you do it. And I get it. It's always some like 14-year-old kid who's just so excited that he's making music, so I can't fault him.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right. That's not how you want somebody to find your music. You want them to find it because, or listen, let alone find it, just how you want them to listen to your music is because they want to, not because you asked them to.
Well, I gotta call you on this one because you said 14, and one of the first videos I saw on YouTube that had me, because I've watched your content all throughout the years and I've just watched it develop. But the one video that had me stuck to the screen from beginning to end was this 13-year-old kid won't stop DMing me, won't stop hitting me up.
Yeah.
And so I want to transition this to the YouTube space,
First off, let me shout out that kid.
Shout that kid out, man. Yeah, he was really dope.
His name is Jacob Adams. He's a great kid. Kid's been following me. And this is what's crazy about the internet is it's probably since I've had like 4,000 followers for years. This kid has been in my DMs. He's the nicest kid in the world. He always sends me his music. I always give it a listen, man. It's cool. So shout out my man, Jacob Adams, man. A good kid.
And definitely gave the good energy from. And I think it's probably the difference between somebody being a conversation in your DM and then being dedicated content. Like, I think people are recognizing that when content creators say, you know what, you're going to be the centerpiece of this story that I relay to my audience, it's a hats off salute and respect to the artistry of this person, because these videos are not, they don't happen overnight. Are you editing your videos, or do you have a video editor?
So I edited that video. I will say that, but
fantastic job, bro. That's crazy.
I do have a video editor now. She's phenomenal. Shout out to Megan. She does an amazing job.
Yeah.
I have trouble giving up my control sometimes. So like
you and I both,
like, I'll be like, I have to edit the intro of this video, so it's like exactly, you know, how I want, but yeah. she does a phenomenal job. So I do have an editor now. But I love to edit, man. I used to edit all my videos. I edited all my videos for 4 or 5 years. I only recently, a couple months ago, hired her. So.
And was this before you went on YouTube? You were already editing? You were already kind of knee deep in editing? Like, what brought that into the space?
So I took like this video. Oh, what do you mean brought her into the space?
No, I'm saying in terms of you having, because it sounds like you have a passion for editing. I have a passion for editing, but I've been editing since way before I even chose to do music. Like, my pops was a middle school teacher, and I never forget, he brought home a program, I think called Easy DV, and I literally sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, I can have a ball bouncing in front of me. And like, it looks cheesy now, but I was like, oh my gosh, I can be Curtis Spielberg right now if I want to. And I developed a passion for editing, in much the same way I developed a passion for sample chopping. So what I'm asking you is, was editing something that's always kind of been around for you, or was it something that kind of came after the music?
Sure. I got you. Yeah. So for a while, I thought I was going to be like a TV personality. People all my life have told me like, oh, you got a great voice. You know, you should be on TV, la da 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 da.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So there's this, at my high school, there was this video broadcast class.
Wait, you took a video broadcasting class too?
Hell yeah. I was on the morning announcements.
Stop
I was giving
it.
I was giving the announcements.
Did we just become best friends, stepbrothers? Did you become best friends? Yes, bro. Video production class was slept on. People didn't want to take that. And I was like, bro, this could change the rest of your life.
Right. It was a blast. And it's so funny, dude. Like, I'd be in that class and they gave us a lot of creative freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, just to like kind of film and make what we want. And you know, back in the day it was always like, no jump cuts. You know what I mean? Like, no jump cuts. And now, like, all the internet is.
Everything's jump cut.
Like, fast pace and, like, you know, no continuity errors. But that's where I learned how to shoot video. And you just kind of naturally get that, like, instinct of, like, okay, if I hold the camera like this, it looks good. If I hold it like this, it doesn't. Now we're out of frame. Now it doesn't look good. Okay. And, like, that's where I kind of learned to edit. And like, as a class, you're like, oh, editing's the greatest thing ever. This is way better than writing a paper.
Yeah,
you know what
for
I mean?
Sure. It's so visual. Like, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I really, really loved it. Wasn't making music at the time, but it was like, that's a valuable skill to have, especially nowadays. It's like, if I didn't know how to video edit, you know, I'd be screwed. You know what I mean? It's not a hard skill to learn, but it's something that is good. But that's how editing kind of came about.
And everybody I meet that talks about video editing, you rarely hear them talk about how much they enjoy it. Most people I hear are like, that's the part I hate the most is video editing. Or my thing was always like, I love video editing. Even back when I was editing off of a laptop, I just hated the rendering process because my computer couldn't handle the stuff that I was trying to do.
True. Yeah. I will say like, it definitely can be tedious.
Sure.
But I love the control of how things look, and like I can place stuff wherever I want, and just and that's ultimately how you get your message across, right? Is being able to edit and all that stuff. So I mean, dude, without it, I'd be I don't know. I don't know where I'd be. Shout out to
I tell you
Mr.
this.
Wood.
I could tell you exactly where I'd be. I'd be off of YouTube.
Yeah,
I wouldn't stand a chance here, man. I'd be on movie. Yeah. I'd be on Windows Movie Maker trying to figure my life out because, having a skill of editing, and it's crazy how much when you get to chopping samples and chopping melodic loops, you start to see how much they have in common, how much they overlap, even with timing, even with smooth cutting, even with seamless transitions that feel like they weren't cuts. And you talked about jump cuts earlier, like a lot of that stuff has overlappage in the music. But I wanted to ask you, now we kind of dove all over the place with your story, but
yep.
What is the origin of the name? Because when I see a name where it feels so like general, it feels like it could be a very common producer name. To take that, it's like this person either they was like, I'm landing on this and this is my name, or they're saying, I'm going to be the biggest beautiful beast that ever existed, and I have that much confidence in what I'm doing. So I got to hear, what is the origin story of the name Beautiful Beast? Because I'm pretty sure, I'm looking at the numbers, I'm like, there's probably people who are not in here yet because they think I'm in here just making beautiful beats. And it's like, oh, right. God, here you go, Curtis. Just
yeah.
Bragging about your beats, huh?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I guess there is some. I guess there is some ego involved if you just think that every beat you make is going to be beautiful. So maybe I'm more egotistical than I thought.
Confidence reinforcement, too. I'm with that, too. Like, I say this. I have a saying where I say, I am nothing. I am nothing and I am nobody. And that means I'm capable of doing anything. It's kind of a mantra that I do before I make a beat inside of my head.
I like that.
So it's like, I am not a trap producer. I am not a sample producer. I am nothing and I am nobody. And that means that I'm capable of doing anything.
Right. That's awesome.
Somebody can take that the wrong way completely. But I mean, we have our mantras for ourselves for a reason. But tell me this origin story.
Yeah, I got you. It's a funny story.
Beats.
So when I first started making music, I loved Lakey Inspired. I don't know if, do you know that name?
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First off, we can dive into that after.
He revolutionized content. Lakey Inspired revolutionized it.
Him and Pat Ryan. I don't know if you remember Pat Ryan.
Yes, I remember Pat Ryan as well. Absolutely.
So like OG. Those two, that's literally what got me started. But the name, your initial question, there was this page on YouTube. And it was called Blunted Beats. And it was like all these like very chill beats and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I like the B and the B. I like how that flows like when you say it. So my initial thought when I was making music, I was like, no one's ever going to see my name. No one's ever going to see my face. I'm going to always just be behind a picture. It'll just be the music and that'll be it. Nobody will ever know it's me. So I was like, I'm just going to call myself Beautiful Beats. But the reason that came about is like when people listen to my music, I feel like I have a friend, his name is Mo, and like I just remember him. He'd be like, when we listen to like Kanye or like anybody, like maybe Kanye isn't a good example nowadays.
I mean, his genius is still his genius. Can't take it away from him. We're not gonna stray away from it. If that's the example you need, feel free. I'm definitely not shunning anything of that down.
He just put me on to a lot of music that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And he'd play it like, I remember like old R&B or anything like that. He'd be like, this is beautiful. Like, this is like, this, like, that was the ultimate compliment. If he said, this is beautiful, or like any of my friends, really, they'd be like, this shit is beautiful, man. Like, that was the ultimate compliment. So like, that's what I want people to say when they hear something like, wow, this is really beautiful. And that's where the name comes from. So it was kind of like a weird thing. I don't even know if I've ever told any of my friends that, but
that's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, people. For whatever reason, my friends would just be like, oh, this is beautiful right here. Like, we're listening to, like, I don't know, like old R&B or like old hip hop or like all this stuff. And I was just, you know, the white kid vibing in the locker room with the basketball team.
But what I like the most is that you've owned that. And as you develop, as you evolve, I'm seeing it play out in your brand in very obvious ways where I think that's the biggest issue a lot of producers have when branding and marketing themselves is that there's so many conflicting messages going on, right? They're a super chill guy, but their font looks like a horror movie, right?
Yeah, they use the avatar font.
It's like this is not. You got to look up typography psychology, right, my friend? You have to look that up. You got to look up color psychology, and they're giving off messages, even especially through the artwork of their beats or the artwork of their songs and singles, and that's something that I'm seeing across the board. You're staying pretty consistent with it. Not pretty consistent. You are consistent with it. And I have to believe that's why people gravitate not just to your content, but it's another reason why you're running up numbers on Spotify. Talk a little bit about that. So how does the guy who hides his music from the friends, who protects and you know what I'm saying? Like you have your own shell. This is your world. How do you go from being in that space? And even the fact that you got your name from someone who presented themselves as a faceless account, and that was kind of the inspiration. This trajectory doesn't make any sense. How do you end up on Spotify with like tell the folks first of all, because you just celebrated something recently, right?
Yeah. So I hit 100,000 monthly listeners. Whew. Actually, I think the day it dropped back to 99,000, but we're good. It fluctuates. Yeah, we're good.
How about you lost the amount that most people don't have?
That's very
true. That's
a
great place to be in.
Right. So, 100,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Also,
wow.
I will, to your typography point, I love Steve Jobs. Like, he tells a story a lot of, or he just like, he literally took a typography class in college and he was like, you can express so much of like a message just in how the font and how things look. Sorry to sidebar, but I love Steve Jobs. And that is a great point about fonts and colors and things like that.
When I saw that in the Ashton Kutcher version of his life story, cause I watch every single Steve Jobs movie there is. I'm just so intrigued by, you know, the good and the bad about him, because he's just, I feel like, mm-hmm. whenever you see only one side of a human being, you're not seeing a wholesome picture. And I've come to understand through Alan Watts, and I've seen you use Alan Watts quotes. That's why I was like, man, we would probably connect well. But through Alan Watts, he described the idea of a wholesome individual not being somebody that's perfect, but a wholesome individual being someone that is unafraid to show all sides of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important. I think that's important to show your multi-dimension. I think it's important to show the people your shortcomings, show them your strengths. And it just seems like you're pushing a level of vulnerability that is not common amongst producers. And it's no surprise that the soundtrack of that vulnerability of your story matches. So yeah. That's why I love the Steve Jobs story. And I love tapping into those movies, because I think that they do a good job of showing that, yeah, he was brilliant. He was a visionary, but he could be an asshole. Right.
I always say he's literally the Michael Jordan of tech. Like,
that's
Jordan was.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I can Jordan, see that.
Jordan won championships. He was a resilient worker. He got the best out of people. Mm-hmm. People like his own teammates fought him in practice and things like that, and everyone was like, and like Isaiah Thomas thinks he's a jerk or an asshole, and all these people were like, he's a jerk, he's a this, he's a that, he's a that, but it worked. We don't need to get into this, but he was, or is, whatever you want to believe, the greatest of all time, right? Mm-hmm. Steve Jobs did the same thing. Did he expect excellence from everybody? Yes. Yeah. And there's documented cases where he was an absolute jerk, mm-hmm. but he changed the world. Like a phone, like a touchscreen, literally his fingerprints are all over everything. And a lot of his, like Michael Jordan's teammates, a lot of his coworkers are like, yes, was Steve the worst person ever some days? Absolutely. But without him being like that, there is no iPhone, there is no Mac, there is no Apple. So it's just, I just think it's unbelievable what he did. But yeah, sorry to sidetrack.
This is not a sidetrack. This is a good conversation piece that I think is, this is the purpose of music and life, is that having an opportunity to show where life and music overlaps, I think are the stories that a lot of us sometimes don't even know how important they are to our current journeys and our current, you know, things that we're focused on. But you sharing, I think, is a lot of folks relating to a lot of the foundational things of it. So now you can go ahead and talk your Steve Jobs. I got a song called Steve Jobs, by the way, too. So
do you?
Music video and all that stuff. Shout out in the house, man. That was a very special time, man. I was like, yeah. That I felt like that era of Steve Jobs when he returned back to Apple and he was like, we're getting rid of all of this shit.
he was like, oh, so y'all really needed me, huh? Yeah.
Right. Not only do you need me, but I see it more clearly than I've ever seen it before. We're getting rid of all of this. We're only going to have 3 products. This 30, we don't even need that.
Yep. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
So we kind of got into it a little bit, but what eventually brought you over? Did you start on Instagram or did you start on YouTube first?
I started on Instagram, I was only on Instagram, just because it was super easy and it felt comfortable. I didn't have to show my face, so like I was just like, you know, throwing stuff up there. But yeah, it started on Instagram. Yeah,
started on Instagram. Okay, and then what made you say, I think I need to invest time with YouTube?
So I have a good friend of mine, Andrew, who goes by Ellie Waves. He's an artist. They were like, I don't know if you know, like there was like 2 kids from my high school that made music, like, you know, and like you knew who they were because they like, oh, like there's weird guys making music, like who's a rapper in high school, you know what I mean? Especially the high school I went to. But I like hit them up one day and I was like, hey guys, super reluctant. I was like, I'm making beats. You guys are the only people that know. And he was like, dude, why don't you put your face in your videos? And I was like, no, never happened. He was like, dude, your videos would do so much better if you had your face in them. So me putting my face in my Instagram videos led to me kind of doing the YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. And also my cousin, shout out to Reno. We used to like watch, this is kind of slightly embarrassing, but like we were obsessed with like Minecraft YouTubers. So we would watch, dude. Like when I was really young, we would watch like YouTube videos of like people playing Minecraft for, and we'd be like, they have the best life ever. Like, it's so cool.
You do this for a living?
All they do is play Minecraft all day long. You know what I mean? So like, we would always talk like, you know, like we'd be sitting there and be like, oh, it'd be so cool to do this. Like, what should we do? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we like would used to make videos where like we do trick shots with ping pong balls. Dude, we were literally.
You're an OG YouTuber. Like, even if you didn't necessarily take it as serious as you do today, you were in that space in much the same way that I talk about Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast didn't just blow up overnight. You can look through literally years and years and years and years of content where you can tell this is a stage where he was trying to find his way. And then eventually, I believe it was the thumbnail reactions that he was doing, those started to get a little bit of traction. And the tipping point moment happened. And I'm very curious, because you do a few different styles of content, right? I see you obviously do the straightforward, making a beat content. But I think you were one of the first ones that I saw that was doing the beat making hybrid motivational captions that don't have a voiceover over them. I know that's very specific. There's a lot of things that I see that you're doing now that are out the box for most producers. But I'm curious, do you remember what posts either went viral first or the one that you think really was the tipping point to getting you to the 100,000 folks that you got sitting on your Instagram now?
So I say this, I don't think there was ever a point where it was like I didn't just ever gain like 20,000 followers in like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's always just kind of been, me and my dad talk about this all the time. He'll be like, oh, okay, now we're here. Okay, now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're here. And then like, that's really been my growth. Have I had some videos that kind of go a little better than others? Yeah.
Right.
That's like, I think just the madness of Instagram is like, all right, we're posting this. Let's see how it does. You know, like, I don't know.
How often were you posting?
So at the start, I would try to like very early, I would like post once a week. And I was like, okay, once, like if I post any more than once a week, that's bad. And then like some random dude in my DMs, maybe when I was at like 10 or 15K followers, he's like, you should only post on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Those are the best days. And like, there's no other. So then I was on that for a while. And then it finally came to a point where I just got faster at making content. I widened my horizon of content of like, okay, a beat video, a motivational video, a mm-hmm. talking video, a this video, a that video. Mm. I had more selection, which more selection allows me to not have to be so creative in one. Like, it's hard to make a beat every day, but it's easy to post a video every day if you have 8 different video ideas.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Were you kind of utilizing the content bucket approach?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I ever sat down and was like, here's my content bucket.
But, right. You know? Yeah. Well, not of course, not like that, but it's something, and I feel like kind of rose to popularity through Daryl Eves, is a YouTube, you know, specialist that works hand in hand with, or has worked hand in hand with Mr. Beast. He's also done, he was behind the Squatty Potty viral commercial. He's just this guy that he geeks out on YouTube stats. Is a really informative channel. But one thing he talks about in his book, The YouTube Formula, is the reason why content creators never run out of content is because they're not pulling from one source. Like, there's, as you said earlier, like, you think about the producer spectrum of things. Like, I remember Lakey Inspired. When I used to do public speaking for producer events, or I used him as an example as being one of the buckets. The bucket is what I call lifestyle content, where it's literally just showing him doing something he would normally do, like skateboarding, and the beats just playing in the background, or there's the straight performance style, or there's the tutorial style, or there's the fun fat guy, or there's so many different buckets that you can establish. This ensures that you'll never run out of content ideas, as long as you have the proper buckets that represent your brand.
That was huge for me. And I can honestly say I've posted a video on Instagram for probably 2.5 years straight without, like, every day without fail. Mm-hmm. I've deleted some videos that I was like, oh, I hate this, but I have posted a video on Instagram every single day for probably 2 years at least, like hundreds of days in a row without fail.
Well, good thing you didn't listen to the old Tuesday, Thursday guy. It's always a guy. It's always a guy. And we never know the name. It's always a guy that just gets on in the I've had the same guy. I don't know if this is not the same person, but there's probably always a guy that's like, here's what my specialist research has shown me. And then I don't know if you did it, but it never dawned on me to actually check the guy's account.
Oh, he's got no credibility 99.9% of the time. Zero credibility from that guy. Yeah,
like,
nothing.
Bro, like, what? You got to have some social proof, but I get it. When you're in a place where you're open to trying things, you know yourself, you're not a specialist because you're still trying to find your way. I mean, even with studying the Minecraft YouTubers, you can only get what they present to you, right? So I wonder, in general, as you did start to take YouTube really seriously, as you took your content creation serious, besides Lakey Inspired, and I think you said, was it Pat Ryan?
Yeah, Pat. Yeah.
Pat Ryan. What other folks were, like, heavily influential in terms of kind of like being a model of this is perfect content?
Well, first off, I already said kind of like Pat and Lakey. Like, I used to watch them religiously.
Yeah.
But then it became Kyle Beats.
The guy.
Like, it's the guy, the god, whatever you want to call him.
Oh, man.
He there's something about him, man, that, like, he's always on the forefront of, like, the next thing. And maybe it's because he has such a large audience that whatever he does is going to be so cool. But, like, he was the first dude to do, like, those, like, songs start to finish, working with an artist and have a cool story behind it, YouTube videos, and those would, like, pop off. Then, like, everyone kind of, like, follows suit, including myself. But to me, visually, his editor does a great job. The pace of the videos, storylines, I just think he just does it all. I think he does it all well. So he's kind of like who I'm chasing. I always like joke around with my head. I'll be like, all right, we're chasing Kyle. Just
see, that's
just
that bass, that's that hooper in you, that's the hooper, the competitive nature that is just a part of you that's probably coming out. But it's interesting to hear you say Kyle and Lakey and Pat. I think that producer content has come such a long way, right? When we think about, you know, some of the grainiest videos that are probably still here 13, 14 years ago on YouTube. We think about the Ryan Leslie era of beat making videos. And now we look at, you know, the fact that there are audiences that are super in tune to learn about artists that they've never heard before.
Yeah.
And
like you said, dude, like a YouTuber with 800,000 subs, like Kyle could have never existed. Like, you know, it's like music production as a whole is like becoming just, you know, I still think it's not even close to what it could be. You know what I mean? I think
I can guarantee, you know why I always say it hasn't even reached anywhere near it?
No.
Because there are not enough women that are at the top. When women get involved, it can take any industry from being a million dollar industry to a $1 billion industry to a $1 trillion industry, because they're going to get endorsements. They're going to get sponsors that us as men are just not going to get. They're going to have a certain amount of appeal and a certain amount of persuasion through their art form, through who they are. And I just think that that is going to be, you know, it's funny, it's especially with the history and the reputation sometimes that hip hop has with misogyny, right, on different sides of it. I think that that's the most ironic, poetic justice, the most ironic thing is that I feel like it's going to be the embracing of the women in our space. And I mean, not the backhanded compliments like you're good for a female producer type shit. I'm talking about like, no, like you have it, sis. Like you are just as good as me and whatever else. But I feel like that's one huge missing component.
Yeah, because it's limiting it to half the world. You know what I mean?
Man.
Like if you go to my analytics and you look at my, you know, whatever audience demographic, it's 85-90% men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not by design. It's just kind of how that's what the space is right now. It's mostly just a bunch of dudes, you know, making beats, and that's about it. You know what I mean?
What do you think would make, I mean, obviously evolution is going to happen how it's going to happen, but in your opinion, I'm sure you've thought about this. What do you think it would require for this space to have a more even balance? Or do you feel like it's already happening?
Well, I will say, I think I've seen more female producers and creators, not only just like people that I might like interact with in DMs, but there's this girl, her name is Sides. I don't know if you know who Sides is. She'll be like, here's a really cool Logic tip. I don't know. She's on TikTok.
Oh, okay. I've definitely seen that one. Okay. I've seen her before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's done a great job. Like because this is how it's going to work, bro. As I watch Pat Ryan and Lakey, some girl's going to be watching Sides and she's going to be 10 times bigger than that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just how it works. So I think it's just as it goes, and then it'll be exponential and like, you know, that'll be it. But I think as she got more comfortable, other girls will be like, okay, I'm more comfortable. And then it just kind of goes, which I think is beautiful. Like, I think that's great. You know what I mean?
It's
like
part of the process. Yeah.
Just it takes a couple people that inspire more people and it just goes from there. So I think it'll grow that way, which is awesome.
Just having the audacity to try something it's a very underrated thing, is to having the audacity to be the first, because it's not going to be easy. We know the nature of the internet. And that's something I specifically wanted to ask you about as well, is, you know, with you coming from a competitive background, but also having this moment of vulnerability, these 4 years, not even a moment, this experience of 4 years of, and I keep going back to that because I think it really does shape the story that we're telling.
Yes.
How was it the first time you came into this internet space, you started sharing your music, or you started being discovered, I should say, and how was your reaction to this thing that you held so close to you when it started getting any kind of negative feedback? Did that, I'm sure that occurred at some point.
Yeah. So I will say this. Remember I said that I would be at practice and like, it didn't, like this stuff on the internet really didn't feel real.
Mm-hmm.
I use that perspective as when I get a negative comment now, or a negative thing. It's like, It's like, who do you, whose opinions do you really care about? And to me, it's a very small group. It's like, you know, my mom, my dad, my family members, and my head basketball coach and my closest friends. You know what I mean? Like the people that I actually respect their opinions. Now I do like to have a little fun. And like I told you before we got on, I could talk some shit. You know what I mean? Like I,
that was
I
surprising, like, bro. That was, yeah. I didn't expect that. Cause like I said, if anybody who's experienced Beautiful Beats, platforms, like he doesn't come off like, he don't come off like no punk. Like let's not get it twisted. He don't come off like a punk. He comes off like calm, cool, chill in the back. Like I'm confident in what I do. I don't have to scream right. and yell to get your attention. Like, let's set a vibe. It doesn't look like it doesn't look like you're trying to get into a bar fight. But
right. Thanks.
You know what I'm saying? But I understand, though, coming from a competitive, especially basketball, it's fast paced. You got to think on your feet. You sometimes dealing with folks that are going to try to muscle you as they get to the basket, and you have to be able to hold your own to get your PT. And so by nature, you have to have a bit of dog in you to handle that.
Yeah.
But getting into this space, it's a different kind of dog because you can deal with the negative comment and be like, man, I don't listen to that, man. My mama say I'm good. Like, but you'll still have that time where somebody will push a button and it's just not even that it's true, but it's so damn detailed that it just irks the shit out of you. I don't know if you experienced that.
So, and I'll say this, talking about it just being a different space, there's like this thing with basketball where it's like you can say whatever the hell you want while you're playing.
Right.
Once you walk off the court, you're like, you know, we're boys, you know, it's fine. That's what I love about it. Cause you know, I could say people would really be surprised, bro, if they heard what I would say, but we'll
like
leave
I said
that
earlier, you're putting the beautiful beats on somebody.
Right. Yeah. The beat. Yeah.
Putting the beautiful beat down on somebody. Let me find out.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, definitely, but with music, it is it's a very fragile thing, and it's somebody's art and it's someone's creative stuff. So I think my biggest example of getting a lot of shit and a lot of like hate and, you know, pushback. I did a video for Unison, the company Unison, which say what you want about them. I don't know. Some people think they're
I'm going to be transparent. We haven't had that conversation, but I've said plenty a lot. I don't want to.
Sure.
Here's one thing I never want to do. I never want to come in between anybody that I consider a friend, a partner in this. I never want to come between you and your business. So sure. I hold my opinion unless you choose to get into it, but that is something that somebody actually brought up in the chat, and I wasn't going to address it unless you wanted to bring that up, but to finish your point, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. So, and maybe it's me being naive and just being, you know, not really digging into the weeds too much, and maybe I need to do that, but let me say this. I got a lot of pushback. I did a video on one of their plugins. I think it was called like Drum Monkey or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just did my thing, made the video, used the plugin, and I was getting, I think you had, who did you have? Bolo, is that his name?
Bolo the producer, yeah.
Yeah, so you had him on before. He made a video too, and we were getting reamed in the comments. I mean, just reamed.
Did you get why though? Like, I mean, not to make this like, I don't want to make this a session where, shout out to my boy Lifestyle did it. He came through. We had a conversation about something that happened on YouTube, and he kind of felt like I backdoored him with the question. And that's, I don't want to ever be in a situation where it's an uncomfortable thing. But did you kind of see the POV of the folks who were seeing from the other side, why they were coming at?
So a lot of them were like, I think on the way of like the marketing of how they market some things, maybe the price point or stuff like that. And then in my mind, once again, maybe I'm naive, haven't done enough research. I was just like, they sell something. I'm using it. I'm giving my honest feedback of what this thing does. And as the consumer, it's up to you if you want to consume, you know, you want to buy.
Right.
I was not lying about anything. I think a lot of people also had problems with like, the holistic music of like, oh, it just makes it for you. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have any, you know, you should make your drums yourself.
A factor. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. So it was a lot of that stuff. But to your original question, that was when I was like, oh, I need to defend myself. And you're never, ever going to win on the internet just like typing. You know what I mean?
Never. There's way too many fingers out there.
Yeah. So like, I was just like, you know, trying to convince people that, you know, I did nothing wrong or whatever. And I do not think I did anything wrong still. But like, you know, it's just like, it was fighting a battle that I was, you know, probably never going to win. And I'm sure whoever commented that was like, oh, this is the guy from the Unison ads. I'll say this. I make a video on the product. I give it my honest review. It's not me running the ads that you see on every YouTube video ever. You know, like, that's Unison, you know, running the ad. And, you know, I guess they do have the right to do that if I agreed to it. But, yeah, I don't say like, oh, make me the cover boy of every, you know, Unison ad, you know.
And that's, you know what? And that's the part that I never really thought about until you said that right now, is that it's easy for producers to get mad at the producers for a product that didn't meet their expectations. It's easy to do that because we're the front facing part of this. There's another reason why I go so hard at sponsors, because even just the exchange of money sometimes doesn't represent the risk that we take when we put we're in a unique space where our business, like, we're the mascot, and whatever happens with the mascot affects our bottom line at some point, or affects people's opinion of our bottom line. So somebody could work for a company, and let's not even say their company, but somebody can work for a company, reach out to you and say, hey, I'm part of Artist Reach Out. We would love for you to do a review on this plugin, yada, yada, yada. Here's what we're going to offer. And then people buy it because, you know, based upon what you said and based upon your experience, they think it's a positive thing to do. They get it. And then fast forward, they see it's not what their expectations were. And now, instead of being angry at the company, they get angry at you because you, in their opinion, you were the one that kind of brought them down the rabbit hole. But it's unfair to assess all of that, because that would mean in turn that you're in charge of their customer service. That would mean that you're in charge of their advertising. And a lot of times we don't really, the terms that they put in these contracts, and I definitely want you to speak on this, but the terms that they put in these contracts in terms of what they can use and how they can use it, they don't cover all bases. Like, I had a relationship with Lander, and I never actually said anything specific about like how likely would I be to use this. It was more so, let's test out this AI technology and see if it stands up. Okay, this is pretty good. I don't know if I would have done this kind of a mix, but I can see what this is for. I think I saw a copy that was like, I 100% stand by this. And it's like, well, based upon the terms that I, like, I didn't say that, but based upon the terms, it puts me in a situation, if somebody goes and spends their last whatever because they can't afford mixing and mastering, they're going to be pissed off at me first because I was the one that brought it to it. But I think it's unfair. There's enough blame to go around for that experience, and I don't think it just falls on the company and the people marketing it. I mean, we are adults, and we make decisions as well.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, that was that video, and like, that was a great learning experience for me. It was like, okay, when you do this, you are attached to this thing, you know, you are attached to what the company does, you know, what else, what they put out in the future, what they put out in the past. So it was eye-opening for me. It's like, hey, let's pump the brakes on taking everything that comes to you as far as, you know, a sponsorship or a brand deal. So it was eye-opening. Have I done other stuff for Unison? Yeah. But I, in my videos, it's always me being honest, what I think, and then I go from there. But I've never dove into the weeds of all that stuff. Like, yeah, I said, maybe we can have a conversation.
And that's not even the purpose of this conversation. I think folks, and I've seen it with the producer community in general, is it's a love-hate relationship that I have with that section of the community. If I say I love the production community, I can't say, well, not that segment. I just got to show my love differently to different segments. And what I realize is that there is a segment. They're not here to make beats. They're not because they're because they have way too much time available to sit around and eat popcorn and talk about the things they don't agree with instead of doing the very thing that connects us, which is music. And that's the thing that I'm like, when you zoom out, I always ask, like somebody asked a question about whether or not I was really cool with a certain person. And I was like, how does this serve your life?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. moving on from that, man, I think it's important that we have these moments, and I think it's super dope to hear you speak transparent on it, because it's like you don't owe that to anybody, but the fact that you're doing, I think, speaks a lot to your character, and you're entitled to like and do whatever the hell you want as long as it stands usually, by that. You know what I mean?
Which is usually what I
you're going to
always
do.
Always fall back on. You know what I mean? Yeah, like
I'm the same way too, bro. There's been times where I'm just like, I'm like. Yeah. Like shout out to homie. Somebody has mentioned her name. Shout out to homie Weaver Beats. I'm like, I will look at an email, and I'm like, I can already see this playing out. I do my review, I say what I say about it, put it out there, and then I'm gonna see the homie Weaver Beats gonna make a video about does Curtis King stand by this scam? Like, I just already see it playing out. But it's now I can do what you did earlier, which is recognize how much of this isn't really real. Yeah. Right. How much of this is a game, right?
Yep. Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, this is obviously like super, but if I would have said I did this and you know, you really had an issue with how I did a promo or whatever, like, I'd speak my honest truth. And if you gave your honest truth, I'd still probably be boys with you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because like, it doesn't, none of this, like, bro, if I post a video that somebody doesn't like, and I still come home and like, I still have my mom and dad that love me, and I still have my friends and I still have my family, I don't give a damn.
You shouldn't. Yeah.
I don't give a damn what anyone out there thinks, brutally honest. Like, I do not care. Now, if I go home and my mom's upset that I didn't make my bed that day or something, that bothers me. You know, that really bothers me. You know, like, if she's got a problem with what I'm doing, like, that's what matters to me. You know what I mean? Right. So, like,
if I get a text message from my mom and she's like, I can't believe you stood by that VST, then I might actually have my feelings hurt. Like,
Dad, you making music now? What?
Like, moms, what were you looking up on YouTube and found that? You were in my pre-rolls. And that might actually hurt my feelings. But yeah, a lot of this comes from folks that don't understand what it's like and are not even willing to put themselves in the shoes of the creator who is in a situation where it's like, sometimes it's wrong place, wrong time. But aside from all that, what DAW do you use in general? I don't think we even covered that. What DAW do you use?
Yeah, I use Logic Pro X.
Logic Pro. Have you always used Logic Pro?
Yeah, man. I haven't strayed from it. I've always, like I said, Steve Jobs guy. I've been a Mac guy forever. So it's just been, Logic till I drop, I guess. I've never had any desire to change. But yeah, what do you use?
I'm PC, man. You know, I've been PC my whole life. Not the disgusting face. Not the disgusting face. Beautiful Beast, not the ugly face. Beautiful Beast made an ugly face to my PC. I have been like, the closest that I will ever come to having and owning an iMac or whatever, like, is this iPhone, this iWatch, and that's pretty much about it.
But it don't touch the computer, huh? It's always going to be PC.
I don't, man. Like, I think I was traumatized back in middle school when they first brought the Macs in, and it was like the old school ones, the ones that had different colors or whatever.
And
you had to drag your CD to the trash can to eject it, and I was like, what in the Mickey Mouse shit is this?
Oh, that's where it happened. See, everyone's got their origin story. That's yours.
That's my villain arc right there. Like, I said, I have to drag this to the trash can to eject it. Where's the button at? And then I think they had. Go ahead.
Steve Jobs is Batman, and you're on your Joker, timeline.
See, I never saw it that way. You gave Steve Jobs Michael Jordan of technology, and now I'm recognizing that this is my villain arc. I was always supposed to be the villain piece. I was always supposed to be the Joker PC. The Joker.
I guess it's just how you look at it, though. Some people might look at you as, you know, the vigilante, you know, Batman rising up. So it's just how you look at it.
Some of us live long enough one day to become the villain.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Man, so I'm PC, I'm FL Studio. That's just my baby. I have tried other DAWs. Like, I tried Reason. I hit an F key, and that shit turned around, and the chords were swinging, and I was like, yo, no. Out of here.
Reason's a different, that's a different beast.
Different beast all the way around.
You got to be somebody special to go after Reason. I don't, if you're using Reason, dude, you are a smart cookie.
You got a good reason, right? No pun intended. You have a good reason to use Reason.
The name came from somewhere. It must have been that. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself dilingual, or are you more so like Logic is just, that's the one you've been sticking by?
No, if you put FL Studio in front of me, you're going to think I'm like, I'd never made music in my life. Seriously. Yeah.
That's how it is for me with anything else. Yes. I'm trying to get myself, weaning myself into Pro Tools, but it's just like, it's so ugly to look at.
Oh my God, is it bad? It's so bad. And then people hit you with like the industry standard line, and you're like, I don't give a damn.
I don't. Okay, I was going to ask you about that, but I think you kind of answered it. How do you feel about that idea of the industry standard? And first of all, but before I even get into that, how would you define yourself, Beautiful Beats? Like, how would you define yourself in terms of, some people would say that they're currently independent with aspirations of getting placements and being famous. Some people would say, hey, I am the new generation of music production, and that I am a content creator, or as I put it, a DIYer, and that many times we do have to wear different hats. I have to be the graphic designer, the video editor, and some people look at that as a punishment. Some people look at that and feel empowered. How would you kind of define where you're at and you know, your aspirations with this, bro?
That's a great question. And I always answer it the same way. It's, I want to do like everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean I want to do everything myself. It means I want to take the name Beautiful Beats as far as it can possibly go. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like just yet. Like, I don't think, like, I don't know if we know what it looks like for a guy like Kyle Beats yet. You know what I mean? Like, who's to say that like Kyle Beats couldn't get sponsored? Or let's use myself. Who's to say that Beautiful Beats couldn't get sponsored by like Nike and those brands like that? And it's like, I'm going, like, do I need a Drake placement? No, I don't. Like, I don't need it. Do I, like, is it what I crave? No. Do I think it could happen if I continue to grow my brand myself? Absolutely. So my goal is just to build, become as big as I possibly can, grow my name, my credibility, you know, my brand in the space, and whatever comes, and I will tackle all of it, whatever comes to me. If it's placements with major artists and that's what it is, great. If it's making the best YouTube videos on the internet, great. If it's, you know, having a podcast, great. But whatever it is, I want to do it all. Like, I want to build this business to the point where it's like, I can show up and like, I can walk into the studio, I can make music with somebody, and a week later the YouTube video is going to be done and I never had to touch it. Mm. Or maybe an hour each week, I sit down for an hour, I talk, there's my podcast, it's out in a week.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of how I want to roll, and that's how I want to build my business. But I want to do everything, man. If it's working with somebody, if it's doing this, doing that, want to do it all and just have fun with it.
I tell you, outsider point of view, bro, I look at you and I do see the visionary in you, bro. I truly see it. And it doesn't come around all the time, right? You see people who are excellent at what they do. But when I talk about DIY nature, when I talk about folks who, and I think there's a handful of folks, right, that have that potential. My guy, Ogosh Leota, you asked me earlier about it, if I've ever been in a beat battle. When I looked at him like, have I? but you should definitely check out the one with me and Ogosh. But it's just like, you guys, you make it look so easy. You make it look so seamless no matter where you get into. And it doesn't come off as forced or cheesy. Like, even when I look at you being in the motivational producer space, there was a long time period where if people weren't being motivational on accident, there weren't a whole lot of us, right? And I say us, including myself, because there was a time period where I dominated producer motivation 101, because that was the foundation of what I felt like I can give the most value, because I felt like that was the thing that I needed coming up. But I see the visionary in you, and I also see the ability to talk to such a broad audience outside of just music production. And to me, that's usually the DNA of somebody that's going to find a lot of traction somewhere much larger than just their niche. And I see that with you, bro. But
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's a phenomenal compliment. Man. Thank you. Yeah.
How important is that to your purpose and the thing that drives you to motivate your peers?
There's a quote. It's from Denzel Washington, and he says, "The most selfish thing you can do is help somebody else, because of the good feeling that comes to you when you, you know, help somebody else." I think it's just kind of like, it's for me, it's like natural, and I'm not trying to just like, you know, toot my own horn here, but like, really, it's just like, I really do just enjoy it. Like, if something that I can say help some kid from England who's like 12, who like he wakes up every day and he like he just has this uncanny and like drive to make music, but he has all these fears and all this stuff, and I know it's the same stuff I went through, like that's powerful, like, yeah, to me. But yeah, what drives me, and I don't know, I try to live my life through God and how I just be a good person and do the right thing. I'm not perfect, obviously, nobody is, but that's kind of how I do it. I try to just keep on that every day and then just go from that. That's literally it.
Great. I love that answer. Someone was asking, we'll definitely get to all that information in terms of where to follow. I'm going to put it, I mean, obviously the stuff is in the show notes or the description. If you look in the description of this video, I have his website. I have the Instagram as well as the YouTube. And I'm sure that once you get in one of those ecosystems, it'll lead you to everywhere else that you need to get to. But that being said, let's do some, because we're starting to wind down here. And I hope everybody that's been here and has been joining us has been enjoying this conversation. This is somebody that I've been wanting to chop it up with and really get to know their story, because there is a level of, as much as you're front facing and you talk to the camera and you do, like, you know, the times where you're like, hey, there's a deal going on, you guys should check this out, there's still a bit of a mystery to what you do. And so, like, it's almost like the person that talks to you all the time.
Yeah.
That asks you the questions all the time. You like, I think I know them, but it's like you've never heard anything about them necessarily.
True. Yeah. That's
are very small windows into their life, I should say.
Right. Yeah. Which I think is really cool. And I think is what's cool about what you're doing here is, like, honestly, like, I think people don't even, like, you can see someone do these like quick talks and quick videos, but like, I fully believe, like, if I sat, like, I've watched every Kyle Beats video through and through for years, but I fully believe that if he was sitting in this chair right next to me when he had a conversation, I'd be like, huh, this guy's like not a lot different to where like he's faking who he is, but like, oh, this is a whole new person, kind of, you know, not in a bad way, but like, you just never see things that you get in real life, you know? So I think this is a great that you're doing this, is you can kind of see a little bit of that.
I mean, and I'm sitting on the couch that he has been here a few times. I want to say that I had his first interview, which blew my mind, because at the time he was still the guy that he is today. Right. And you know, I know folks have everybody has their opinion about every producer, right? But
right. It's
certain folks that it's like I look at Drake in a lot of ways, and that when he first came out, that was the last person I was trying to listen to, because every girl was like, you're trying to be like Drake. I was like, I was here before him. Don't you do that to me. Don't you do that to me. Oh, the way you shake your hand, he shake his hand. Like, don't you do that to me.
Right.
But that being said, eventually when somebody has shown longevity, regardless of if you agree with every single thing that they do or release or whatever, you got to just give the just do and respect and salute and take your hat off, because it's like they're grandfathered in at this point. And yep. I think that's one of those names that definitely is in there. So salute to him. He's definitely came here and, man, shown a lot of love to the chat. I remember there was a time where folks were sitting in super chat, and anybody who sent a super chat, he was matching the super chat with his own money. So I was like, it's such a dope gesture. So shout out to him. But so as we wind down here, let's get to some real producery questions, man. Some real producery. We talking life. We ain't talk about enough of the music, man. Since I know you're a topical guy, like, you make your list videos, it shouldn't be hard for you to name five of your favorite plugins.
Oh, no. They're all by Unison. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Clip it. Somebody marker it, nugga.
Yeah, I got you. My favorite plugins, man. Now this will be real easy. So I'll do a top five.
Let me catch my breath. Go ahead.
I know what number one is. Okay, number five. I'm gonna go with the classic. I'm gonna go with like my first VST ever, and that's gonna be Nexus.
Ooh.
Yeah, kind of like very EDM, kind of like just big synths, but there's a couple sounds in there that I always go back to.
So Nexus has stood the test of time for you.
There's this one sound. Oh, I definitely know the name. Oh, Digital Dreams. That's a bell called Digital Dreams in Nexus.
I know which one you're talking about, yes.
And it's sickening how many times I've used that in a beat. So
there's a pure bass. I think it's called Pure Bass. In there, yeah. That's the only I go to Nexus and I just feel like I feel like younger broke producer trauma. That's how it entered my life. It entered my life. Welcome to my life. It entered my life at that point in time. And so when I look at it, it just feels like poverty. No disrespect to the folks who make Nexus, but when I look at that, I'm just like, the struggle days.
So that was that pick is for. Younger me when I was sitting there with the dongle plugged into my, you know, whatever, and I was using. We'll go with that.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with, man, I love VSTs, man. I'm going to go with four. I'm going to go with Serum. I like Serum. I feel like a lot of control with Serum. I really like that. Okay, let's try to get into more effects plugins. I know what's at the top. Here I am making music every day and I can't think of plugins. I'll go with another one. I like Arteria's VSTs. They have that whole,
can't go wrong.
All those like the Mellotron remake and like all those stuff. I love those plugins. I really like OTT, which is a free plugin by Exfer. It just like makes things sound a little more crunchy, which I really like.
Hold on, before you give us number one, I want to see if they can guess which one number one is. What you guys think is Beautiful Beats number one? Those of you that are in the chat right now, which one do you think? Someone already said, I just know he's going to say Omnisphere.
Ooh. No, I don't even have Omnisphere.
You don't even have Omnisphere. Ooh, this makes it even interesting. Somebody said Arcade. That's cheating.
Not Arcade.
MTV Music Maker 2, the plugin. No.
I haven't done enough sponsorships with Output to make it Arcade, so I'm kidding.
Somebody said Fab Filter. That's not it.
Nope, don't even own it.
Massive.
Nope.
I just tell you this. No disrespect to Massive, but they've always been a massive pain in the ass when it comes to CPU. And I got this beast of a CPU. And it still twitches like Ashley from The Fresh Prince when she was like, mind your business. It still does that to this day.
Yeah.
When I open up Massive, and I'm like, Massive should not still be having these kind of issues. Blake said Contact 7.
Tell them it's an effects plugin.
I'm gonna give y'all a few more tries. Plugin.
You'll get five more guesses.
Sound Toys. That's my favorite one.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I lied.
You gotta redo your list now.
Yep. Little Altar Boy, is it at number two or three? I used
Golden. Yeah, it eats up RAM. It does eat up some CPU, but damn it, it's worth it.
I'd be using that all the time. But that's not number one. Do we want to give them a couple more guesses?
Nah, I think they're guessed out. I think I don't think they're gonna get this one. What is this one?
Valhalla Vintage Verb.
Damn it. You know why I should have known this one? Because I watched a top five reverb on your channel, and it was the first time I saw Valhalla, and I was like, what in the 1970s rug is this plug-in? It looks interesting.
It is. Oh, my God. This is not a good tip, so do not. But I put it on everything, dude. It's like, oh, well, that sounds, you know, not great. Let's put Valhalla on it.
I did that today. I've been sounding out designing for this new pack. And I was like, what's going to create some space for this? I don't know if you're supposed to put this on a percussion one shot, but. Oh, well.
Let's go 100% wet and, you know, crank everything. Yeah.
Let's decay that for 2 days in a row. Let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, right.
Why Valhalla though? What is it? I mean, we all have our favorites for our own reasons, but why do you think it is?
don't know, man. It's just something about it. It just makes everything sound. I think it adds a look. I think what it really is it adds that kind of like that spacey feel. And like, mm-hmm. I think things are just more beautiful like that, to be honest. I think that like space has just kind of become, and that airiness has just kind of become a part of my sound mm-hmm. a little bit. So that's kind of, I just kind of gravitated to it, which probably isn't very original. I feel like people fall in love with reverb pretty quickly as a producer. You're like, oh, this sounds way cooler.
I'll be honest with you. It took me, bro, I've been producing now for almost 21 years. I'm 20 years into it this year.
Yeah, that's awesome, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful to still be doing this at a high level and excited to do this. Like, but there was a long period of time where I detested reverb on drums. It was
you
more of a,
huh? You tried to do put reverb on
I
drums?
I tried to put reverb, and it just felt like the, because my thing was, because I come from a beat battle history, it was always mm-hmm. about drums that smack, drums that hit, and I felt like it would soften the cushion of certain instruments, like the snare. I just could never get this. I couldn't get it right because I didn't know the knobs. I didn't understand what the parameters meant. But as I was right. using it, and people were like, you got to use reverb. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. I was like, fam, it just doesn't feel like the sound I'm going for. And I eventually learned enough about my craft to make it sound like it was intentional. But for many years, I didn't use reverb at all until I started understanding, okay, this is how you utilize this is how you right. manipulate the higher frequencies, the lower frequencies. This is what the decay is doing. This is where you have a mix knob that I was ignorant to the fact of, it's embarrassing to say, but it got to a point where I would just like ignore reverb. And all my favorite producers that I met in real life, they weren't really big reverbers as well. But yeah. And then all
there's a time and a place for it. Yeah.
It's time and a place. And I think also the sound of music has shifted so much, specifically in hip hop, to where there's more emphasis on vocals going through reverb. There's more emphasis on pads and certain yeah. sounds just kind of having that cinematic feel. When you think about like someone like a Weeknd, so yeah. many of those sounds get drowned in the reverb, but it's his sound. It's part of the sound and the aesthetic of the time.
Old hip hop is very like dry and kind of like rugged mm. a lot of times, you know? So yeah, that definitely is, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, those would be the top five.
Crazy. Somebody said they're surprised. JH DeGrace said, I'm surprised you didn't say RC20.
I actually don't have RC20 either.
What? So wait a minute. So your specialty of genre, would you say is lo-fi? Is kind of like, is that the, what would you say it is?
I don't know, man. Cause I've been making a lot of like house recently. I would just say anything that like feels good. But what is, yeah, I do make lo-fi. I do make lo-fi.
I was about to say, what does Spotify say it is?
That's a great question. So, well, my second top song on Spotify is a complete EDM track that I made in my dorm room and released New Year's Day in the bathroom during basketball practice.
So you can't just glance over that. Really quick, tell us that story. So the number two stream song, how many streams are we talking about around ballpark figure?
Let me look. Oh, I can tell you real quick.
That is a crazy story.
No, It was wild. That song has 745,000 streams.
745,000 streams, and
could
it was
created. Yeah.
And then it was created. You said in a bathroom.
Yeah. Hold on. So yeah, it gets about 2,500 to 3,000 streams a day still, and it was released in 1 sec. It was released in 20. Sorry, I'm lagging here. More than 2 years ago. So that song, yes, it was made, found a vocal from Splice that was like, I'm so alone, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just built an entire EDM track around that, making it in my dorm room. And then I set the release date for New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. And our coach was like, we're going to have practice at 9 a.m. on New Year's Day. So we couldn't like, people couldn't go have a good time on New Year's night. You know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of thing. So I was like, well, I have my songs posted at 9:15 and now we have practice at 9 a.m. So I was like, coach, I got to go to the bathroom. Went into the bathroom, sat there in the stall with my laptop on my, you know, like knees. And I was just like, I was uploading the song, getting like the link in my bio, posting the video that was associated with the song. And I released it, and it did really well, which is kind of crazy. But yeah.
Like, that's yeah. To me, bro, just go ahead. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I was just saying, I came back to practice, like, dude, like, what were you doing in there? I was like, I had to go to the bathroom. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Don't worry about me, guys. I just dropped some shit. Just you know, yeah. You know, I just 700,000 streams later, you know.
Right,
it's yeah. I know somebody right now is crying in their $1 million studio when they hear stories like that. Like, how dare you? We had 17 writers. We had 17 writers. We had state-of-the-art equipment. We paid at least $500 an hour.
For the mix.
For just to smell the console, right? Not even for the mix itself.
You were close to talking industry standard with Pro Tools. Bro, if it's a good song and it sounds decent and it's a good song, people will listen to it. Just get it. Strive for perfection. Obviously, I'm not saying don't, but if you can't get it perfect, you can't afford a mix, dude, get your music out there, dude.
Man. I always say this, and this is why I go so hard for this DIY culture for musicians and artists and producers in general, is because it doesn't matter what anybody feels about the branding that we bring to what we call the DIYers. We're living in that era. And I think about the pandemic, and I think about how many businesses were created because people weren't allowed to go back to their jobs. And I think about, like, there was a specific business where this woman, I believe she got fired during the pandemic or before everything was, like, restricted, before they couldn't fire. And she said, you know what, I'm going to finally launch in this business where it's a portable club. And her husband literally have this inflatable club.
That's so cool.
Put in your backyard, and you go inside this inflatable club, and they put all the decorations in there.
Yeah.
And it literally looks like you're, like, when you go inside, you close the door, it looks like you're in a club, but you're literally in your backyard.
That's so cool.
That's the culture we're living in now, bro. So the fact that you had a song that you were able to to release in the bathroom in the middle of practice is the same universe that I had a project that I literally recorded every single song on a camera or on a live stream from this channel, right? DIY tool, recorded everything, and I took everybody through the process. And through me incentivizing those who pre-ordered the project, it went number one on the hip-hop iTunes charts.
I saw that.
But see, to me, that's
more, amazing.
That's more. Thank you. But to me, it's more a testament of just the era we're living in, where it's like, that's possible. Now, granted, it only lasted up there about an hour, 2 hours. That doesn't matter. It happened.
Hey, you got the screenshot.
And look, I got the screenshot. And you know, I got to flex real quick. I passed a certain group of guys. Some of y'all might know. I'm not going to say the name in here. I'm not going to be messy. But I passed a group of guys to number one who years before had stole a beat from me. And I did a video about it. It went viral. Their fans threatened to find my address and kill me and all that crazy stuff. And then I went and beat them. And I was like, oh, that's you, God. I didn't even ask for that. I just wanted to be number one. I didn't even know they were sitting number two. And then I saw that, and I was like, all right, God, this is why I need to listen to you and stop trying to do everything on my own.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely not the ways that I would have planned, but it's always the perfect way that it need to be played out. So
there you go. Yeah.
Man, as we bring this here to a close, bro, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being transparent. I do believe it will not be the last time that we'll be hearing from you. I mean, you always have open door here in terms of you got new products or anything like that. But I first want to ask you, where can people find you? What are some products maybe they can look into, sound packs, all that good stuff? And then I have one final question for you, but I'll save it after you do that.
Sure. I always just tell people that you could just, whatever platform you're on, you could just type in Beautiful Beats. And if I come up, I'm doing my job right. And if I don't, then I'm probably not. So yeah, you could just type in Beautiful Beats producer on Google and everything should come up, or just Beautiful Beats. And yeah, I don't really have any products. I think you said I have a website of stuff, but you know, it's all good. Whatever. Yeah. Just find Beautiful Beats, watch the videos.
Yeah.
You know, like the videos if you like them, and It's all good. Yeah. It's all about what people want to do.
So I have a very specific question that I want to ask you based upon what stories you told us here. But if you had an opportunity in some altered universe that allowed you to go speak to the beautiful Beats that was in the first year of his 4-year secretive project of making music, now knowing what you know and the things that you've seen, and you're still so early in your journey, what would the 23-year-old beautiful Beats tell that beautiful Beats about what's to come? Because I'm sure there were times of you feeling discouraged or feeling like, is this even really worth my time? You were even going to the place where you were like, is this even a real thing? What advice would you give to that younger version of you?
I made a video about this the other day and I put it in the caption. Just, I worried about so much irrelevant shit, dude. I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about whatever, whatever. I now live by this. It's like, I know I work hard and I know I'm going to put the work in. I was like, you just got to trust that. You know what I mean? That's what I would tell him. I'd be like, dude, you know what you're doing, right? You know you work hard. You're worried about all the wrong shit. Just put your head down and work. Everything will come to fruition. And that's what I live by now. And I would really just say, stop worrying about all that other stuff. It's all gonna pan out. And I think I tell myself that now without the hindsight of knowing that, you know, I got somewhere with it, obviously, now. But like, even days where I'm struggling now, it's always the same thing. It's like, if it was luck, it would have ran out a long time ago. You know what I mean?
Facts.
That's a great quote. I love. I heard Scott Van Pelt say it one time. If it was luck, it would have ran out a long time ago. Stop worrying about all this other stuff. Put your head down. Work. You know who you are. You know the work you're supposed to put in. You're doing it. Do your thing. It'll all work out. Yeah.
Solid words, man. This is the kind of individual that I'm grateful to be able to bring on this platform. And still, like I said, very early in your journey, because I've seen this enough times, right? I remember even seeing Cal Beats, who you've given a lot of praise to here, but I remember seeing him in the early stages. And even if I didn't necessarily understand producer vlogging and how that was important at the time that it was launched, I saw the appeal. And now when you look and see, like, there's a lot of, in a lot of ways, the content that we see, that decision, those decisions he made with him and his editors, is what trailblazed the way for a lot of folks who are kind of following in suit. I'm even looking at the homie Simon Savita, and I'm seeing how his content is shifting around. And so it's a beautiful time to make content. It's a beautiful time to follow folks like this that can show you the way. One last question, and I promise it's the last one, because I want to be respectful of your East Coast time. But what advice would you give to the producers that are in here who are on the fence, who maybe they're at that place where you were like, I'm going to be a faceless brand, and somebody was like, no, bro, you got to show your face. What advice would you give to them for those who feel discouraged about it, or they're just so worried about doing it the wrong way?
First off, I would start by saying you should always just do what makes you happy, but don't confuse doing what makes you happy with not addressing some of your fears.
Break it down. One more time. Repeat that one more time.
Yeah. Don't let what make you, like, you should always do what makes you happy, but don't confuse that with not, like, attacking your fears, right? Making music and making content always made me happy, right? We discussed, I like video editing. Yeah. I like making music, all that stuff. Me posting content with my face in it, I should not, how do I word this? Me posting content without my face in it isn't what ultimately made me happy. It was the fear of putting my face in it for reasons that were irrelevant, like I said, I was worrying about, is what ultimately was holding me back. It wasn't because that stuff didn't make me happy. It was because I was a fear. Now, maybe you truly do not want to put your face in it because you just don't enjoy it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But really dissect it. Where is that fear coming from? Is it because, or where is it coming from? Is it because it doesn't make you happy, or is it because it's a fear of yours and it's something you have to overcome? I think there's a big difference. So if you're on the fence, have that conversation with yourself. Are you not posting content because it's not what you want to do, or you're not posting content because you're afraid of what people will think, mm-hmm. or you're afraid it's too much work, or maybe you don't want to put the time into it, or, you know, maybe you don't think you're good enough at it, or, you know, you have a lot of stuff to learn, all that stuff. I think that's big, dude. I think that's so big. People, like, just because you fear it doesn't mean it's something you shouldn't be doing. I think is the point I'm trying to make.
Facts, bro. Man, that's wisdom. That's wisdom that I wish I had at 23, because I for sure had my minds on other things. Like my grandfather said, you were out there chasing them girls when you should have been in the books. Yeah, grandfather, our rest in peace. I for sure was out here, and I was not of this kind of wisdom, but. Thank you, beautiful beast. Let me just shout out the chat before we leave here. Young Crush is stepping on Diggity. Ah, it's Hunter. Man, me and Hunter got some crazy things planned that we're going to talk to you about soon. Courtney, Tyra, Vitas, glow up one day. Tyra, what's going on, Tyra? Glad you up here. She said, I'm really enjoying this chat while I'm kicking my feet up on the sofa. That's what I want to hear. This is what music and life is supposed to be all about. Jay Johnny, Gray Keys, my guy, Avitas, King Midas, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Jay Flow, this will be found on all distributors, just like any other podcast. I have since changed the name of the Curtis King podcast to now Music and Life, and this feels like it's just so much more on par and on brand. So if you're looking for old episodes, appreciate that, bro. If you guys are looking for old episodes, it's now Music and Life, and now the newest installment of that, as of today, January 25th, is our guy, Beautiful Beats. Thank you so much once again for joining us, bro.
Let me give you my thanks, too, because I think it's important that, you know, guys like you, that the fact that you even, like, show an interest in, like, who I am as a person and, like, what makes me tick and what makes other guys tick and spreading the knowledge that some of us have and just like your curiosity of it is really inspiring. So I really do appreciate you having me on. And bro, if you ever want to talk, give me a call. Like, I
come on now. Now you got a new friend. You messed up and got a new friend, bro. Like, there's things that you said that I'm like, and plus there are things that you're nailing. Like, it's funny, I wasn't gonna say this, but I'm gonna say it now. I got one of your thumbnails. Because what I do is I'm a collector of thumbnails, all right? Sure. It's the weirdest thing I ever said out loud. I'm a collector of thumbnails on YouTube, right? If it catches my attention, I grab it off the internet, screenshot it, and put it into a folder. And I ask a bunch of questions. Why does it get my attention? Was it because of the minimalism, or was it because of the detail? And usually it's because of the minimalism. That thumbnail that you had with the YouTube face and then the kid, the young guy that you worked with, I use that as a template for a video that I did where it's funny, on the other end of it, I put, the title was, I worked with a 47-year-old female rapper who proves age is nothing but a number. Because I feel like everybody was so focused on this side, and rightfully so, because there's so much talent on both ends. But I was like, nobody's talking about the folks that are like, you know, the OGs and that are like, still as crisp and fire as they were when they started. And so I really feel like, because I'm older as well, that was an opportunity. But your thumbnail, bro, that thumbnail is sitting in my Canva right now, just reference.
The ultimate compliment. That is, I appreciate that. That's the ultimate compliment.
The ultimate compliment, and definitely the nerdiest shit I've said probably all year, but I'll take that.
Yeah, maybe don't tell everybody you collect thumbnails, but it's okay to tell. It's okay to tell me that for sure.
So that won't work on my wife. That won't work. Hey, honey, I've got this new hobby. I'm collecting thumbnails. What say you?
Collecting something that has zero rarity. There's literally billions of them. You know,
living on the wild side, collecting thumbnails and going by my way. Man, thank you, bro, so much. And I say that here, and I'll say that when we get off of here, but. I am always a phone call away, always a contact away, whatever you need, pick my brain about, because I for sure am going to ask you questions, because you're finding traction with the YouTube space, and I'm having to not be a boomer and evolve with the times and the things that are going. And so I'm learning from everybody, and you can't be prideful when you're learning, man. So salute to you, respect. And like I said, we're always here for you, bro. Thank you again.
That's love. Thank you, man.
All right. Peace out, everybody. I will see you Friday, and I'll explain it in the community post. All right, peace.